descending from atop the highest mountains of pop culture and delivering the knowledge of media you seek. This is the Geek Peek Podcast.
From atop the highest mountains of pop culture and delivering the knowledge of media you seek.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Geek Peek, a podcast all about the hottest news and recommendations in all forms of pop culture media, ranging from Oscar-worthy films to cringy internet memes. We've got an exciting show for you all today, highlighting some big news in the gaming community. We'll be discussing the new horror film, You Should Have Left, starring Kevin Bacon, that's currently available to rent on YouTube. And we will also be talking about some of our favorite horror movies. And of course, we will be providing you with some excellent recommendations for you to check out this week as well. My name is Brandon Lanis, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Trent Sherrod and Chris Melvin. What's going on, boys?
Hey, friend. How are you?
Hello, hello. I missed you guys again this week.
Yes. It's good to reconnect again. So what are we all sipping on today, boys?
I'm always looking forward to this every week. I'm going to butt in and go first, though, because I'm excited about this. So today I am drinking Big Storm Brewing Company, which is from Tampa, sunny Tampa, Florida, which is where I currently reside. Tropic Pressure Florida Ale. Now, this beer, first off, I don't know if this is the norm, but tall boy, me likey. Second off, Hibiscus Cinnamon Tropical. That's what it says on the can. Highly drinkable Florida ale, steeped with hibiscus flowers for the perfect amount of natural sweetness. The color of Tropic Pressure has been kissed by the sun. The nose smells of a village lost in paradise. Blossoming flowers, honeysuckle, and freshly baked island bread cooling on the windowsill. Close your eyes and you can almost feel the breeze and hear the ocean. It tastes like all of that, I will say.
This is the ad read for you.
it's so good. Like, honestly, the beer is fantastic. It's super light. It's got a little bit of sweetness to it. You can definitely taste the hint of cinnamon, but in a very nice way. It says that this ale pairs well with hog snapper, scallops, and key lime pie. I would highly, highly recommend this. I honestly had never had this before this week. This is one I'm going to go back to very frequently. It is, I want to say it's like 4% alcohol, but I actually don't know. I don't think they have it on the can here. Yeah, 4.4, excuse me. And it's one pint, which is, you know, the best way to drink a beer.
Yep, absolutely.
Hey, Trent, what are you sipping on this week? Is it St. Augustine Distillery again, or...
No, I'm taking a break. They haven't really reached out, so I'm done plugging them for a while.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I'm back on my seltzer game.
Ooh, he's back on his bullshit.
I was out last night. Me and my fiance were celebrating because today she started her first day of work at her like dream design job in Jacksonville. I moved her up here and she hadn't been working for a while. So we were celebrating and I went to this place.
I want to stop you there and say, I love that. That's awesome. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. She's really happy. I'm really excited for her. I'm proud of her too. So a little shout out for my boo. But we went to a nice little restaurant. We went to a rooftop bar called Hoptinger. And then there's this little bar called Alewife in Riverside, which is like just south of downtown Jacksonville. And they sell a bunch of like craft beer and seltzers. So this caught my eye. Funky Buddha has a seltzer now, which they're a great beer. Their brewery's in Fort Lauderdale, I believe.
Yeah. Yes. They make Golden Monkey, right? I really enjoy that one.
Oh, yeah.
I think Golden Monkey is actually Victory.
You're right. That is Victory. Good call.
But Funky Buddha makes the Funky Buddha Floridian, and they also make a really good PB&J beer. I actually used to live right down the street from the brewery, so I'd go there on Sundays in my past life. I'd go there on Sundays and watch football, and that brewery is, first off, if you're ever, it's actually technically in Oakland Park, but yeah, basically Fort Lauderdale. Fantastic brewery. All the beers are great, and I'm definitely going to have to try this seltzer, Trent. What flavor did you say it was?
It's good. So there's it's a four pack. There's let's see, the one I'm drinking that I'm about to crack open, actually, if you guys just want to take a listen.
Ooh, some ASMR.
And so the night starts.
That's a grapefruit. They've got a pink grapefruit, a blood orange, a key lime cherry, and then I don't know, the other one's in my beer fridge. I'm not sure what it is, but it's a 12 pack with four different flavors. So it's pretty good. I've had like three already. So
damn, that's awesome.
Brandon, what are you sipping on?
Yeah, I was going to say that leaves one. What do you got?
While I was perusing my local Total Wine, I decided to try some beers I'd never had before. So, of course, I went straight to the craft aisle and where they have the own make-your-own six-pack section. And I went straight to the seasonal craft beers. So today, I have a Voodoo Ranger Starship IPA, and it's by New Belgium, which they brew in Colorado.
I love New Belgium. Me they also too. Make Fat Tire.
Yep. And so this one, it kind of stuck out to me right away because it has like a skeleton with a gold tooth on the front, got a hat on and a laser gun. I was like, wow, I have to know what this is all about. So, I mean, like most IPAs, you get that instant bitter hoppy flavor, but this one actually has some sweetness to it because you get some notes of grapefruit and citrus in there. And this is the perfect beer to sip on a hot summer day, especially while you're here in Florida.
Ooh.
I think this is the first time I don't think there's been one time where we've all been drinking the exact same thing. Like I'm drinking a seltzer right now. You guys are drinking beer, but it's the first time that we're all in that kind of category. Like nobody's sipping on any liquor today. I think we must've all had a good week.
Yeah. A leaky, right. Leaky down. well, That sounds good. I've had the Voodoo Ranger before from New Belgium, and I know that's good, but I imagine the Starship, does that have like grapefruit in it?
It's it's grapefruit. It has a little bit of a pine flavoring as well. Some mango, some guava. So you get that sweetness in there with all the bitter hops.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it's very tasty. I like that a lot.
It's actually super refreshing.
Well, I can imagine. I'm a huge IPA fan, so I'm gonna have to check that out. But let's go ahead and jump right in. I do want to plug all of our social media real quick. On Instagram and Twitter, we are Geek Peak Pod. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/geekpeakpodcast. Please check us out. Follow us on social media. We post dank memes.
Shit's fire.
Also, just a heads up, Trent and I have been playing The Last of Us 2, which we will be discussing a little bit on this episode, but we have an entire mini episode coming to you early next week, probably Monday. It'll be the first 6 hours of gameplay, us giving a review and a quick breakdown. It'll be about 45 minutes. So if you're into that game, definitely check it out. Moving into our news, Brandon, you have some very interesting news.
I do have some interesting news. So they spoiled a couple months ago, Nintendo did that is, that they were going to be having the new Super Smash Brothers representative be from the ARMS series, which is a game that's developed by Nintendo themselves, and it was one of the launch titles for the Nintendo Switch. It had, it's got pretty decent reviews. It seems pretty fun. I haven't played it myself, but they have officially announced the character that they decided to port over to Smash. And that's going to
be... Who is it?
Min Min.
Min Min.
Who the hell is Min Min, you ask?
Oh, I know Min Min. Please tell me. She's one of my best friends. I've known her since I was a child. Min Min grew up with me.
I feel like if you haven't been keeping up, you definitely wouldn't know who Min Min is because she's not the actual main character or like featured character on the front of the box art for the ARMS games. So it's kind of a surprise. I think this is the first time that Nintendo has done this where they've taken a character that's more of a side character and put them in as the sole representative of the franchise. So that's pretty exciting news. Also,
quick question, she was originally this game ARMS that you speak of.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly, for those of us who are uninitiated, what exactly is this game? Like what kind of game is it? Like give me like ARMS? Quick rundown if you don't mind.
Is imagine a third person view, kind of like how it is in Gears of War, like right over the shoulder, but it's a fighting game. So the way that it works is like with your Joy-Cons, for example, you your right stick controls your right arm and your left arm. And it's a fighting game. So I think because it's a fighting game, she'll fit well into the Super Smash Brothers roster, which they've already have insane amount of characters. It's crazy that they're going to keep continuing to put more in. And this is the first of the second wave of DLC characters that are going to be added into the game. So there's going to be five more that they have yet to announce, which is very exciting. And I'm hoping one of my boys that we're going to be talking about later in this podcast gets in at some point, but we'll get to that when we get to that, I guess. But go ahead.
I do have one question. The next five characters that they've announced, they're not going to all be from ARMS, are they?
No. The next five characters can be from anything. So we might get like a Master Chief for all we know. We don't know.
Ooh, I like that.
Can you imagine logging into Super Smash Bros. And hearing the Halo theme?
Oh, God, I love it. Okay, Brandon. Well, outside of Min Min, what else you got for us news-wise?
The Witcher is resuming production August 17th. I'm glad to hear that they're back on. I think we've all watched the first season of The Witcher.
Yes. I can't stop thinking about that song ever.
Toss a coin to your Witcher. Oh, Valley of Plenty. Oh.
Like I said, it's a banger.
It is a banger.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to seeing the second season. I think that it will have some definite like increase in budget and increase in special effects.
I think it'll definitely have an increase in budget considering how well the first season did as far as like critical reviews and audience reviews.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I loved it. It was just a fun ride the whole way through.
Yeah, for sure. And I would love
really
to see
good,
it.
But I was so confused whenever I finally realized that halfway through the season, I was watching shit that was in the past. Like, yeah, did you guys get confused on that all time?
They pulled a Westworld with you.
I was so confused.
Yeah, any show that does that at this point, I'm just kind of like over automatically. Like that, I did not like that about this show. I will say that.
I thought it was okay. It didn't really bother me too much, honestly.
Out of everything that I loved, because I thought the show overall was fantastic, but that was like by far the thing that was the most unnecessary, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see more really well choreographed fighting with swords. So. Bring it on. Oh, more Witcher.
I love it. Okay, so moving on. Trent, let us know what's going on with Eurovision Song Contest Story of Fire Saga.
Oh, what the fuck? What is that? That's the longest title ever.
Exactly.
Yeah, new Netflix film from Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams. Two big, huge names. Got to be great, right? Wrong. It looks fucking awful. But
dumpster
fire. We're gonna watch it. Yeah, we're gonna watch it all eventually. I thought it'd be fun just based off of. I don't even know if you guys have seen the trailer, but just based off the premise, I'm gonna go ahead and rate this a 2 out of 10, and I'm gonna watch it. I promise you guys. You guys have my Geek Peak oath of honor. I will watch this movie and rate it again. I'm going to give it a 2 so far. It looks like fucking trash.
You're going to have
like
to watch
a Holmes and Watson type.
Because I'm not sure if I can.
You refuse.
I'm gonna have to pass on that movie unless it's good or unless it's so bad that I have to see it because I have a laundry list of things to do in terms of.
If it's a major
films.
Dumpster fire of like cataclysmic proportions, then I might have to actually watch it because I do love
like Sharknado.
Yeah, like Sharknado.
That's what I think.
Shark and Saw, Women's Prison.
Dude, I love Shark and Saw, Women's Prison. It's such a good
movie. I don't even know what that is. I've never even heard of that.
Don't worry. We'll initiate you to the higher group.
Yeah.
Anyways. That movie looks like trash. Trent has made his oath that he will watch it. What else you got for us, Trent, besides that terrible film on Netflix?
Any 90s babies out there? You guys.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. We all are. I know you all remember in the fifth grade going to your book fair and you probably at one point picked up a copy of Animorphs. You guys remember Animorphs?
I do remember Animorphs.
Sci-fi fantasy children's novel or teen novel, whatever you want, young adult novel. Gonna be adapted
in Edge.
Yeah. Gonna be adapted into a movie. No report on who's gonna be making it yet, but Scholastic is partnering with a movie studio, and they're gonna be making a film based off of the 54 books in the series. So we don't know when that's coming out, but that's just been announced. I imagine this ending up very similar to Artemis Fowl.
Why like, the movie when you got 54 books?
Yeah.
You know, there was a TV show like back from like 98.
I do remember the TV show, and it looked just as terrifying as the covers of the books whenever it's transformed into their respective animals. And I hope they keep that with the new one. I want to see people changing into horrible, disgusting creatures before they actually get to their form of like a chicken or whatever it is.
I always did love watching people become human animal chimeras.
Like that mid golem looking.
Honestly.
Gross. Yeah. Sorry everyone out there for having to hear that, but yeah, that's what we like.
That's exactly what I like.
So that was announced. Out of those two like little stinker announcements, I've got a great announcement.
Hit me with the good.
Crash Bandicoot.
New
Crash Bandicoot game coming out. It is the official sequel to Crash Bandicoot 3 Warped.
Hell yeah.
All right, so, that's it. I'm getting another beer.
So yeah, the original Crash Bandicoot series, you had the first three games, Crash Bandicoot, Cortex Strikes Back, and then Warped. And then I think you had CTR, Crash Team Racing, on the PlayStation. And then the PS2 and the Game Boy Advance, and like they just came out with a bunch of bullshit games made by a bunch of other different studios. Basically what Sony is saying now is they're giving the IP to Toys for Bob, which is the people that did the Spyro Reignited remaster, which was amazing.
They also did the Crash remaster.
Oh, okay. So they're doing a direct sequel to Crash Bandicoot Warp. So it's called Crash Bandicoot About Time. So it's kind of a little play on words. But the trailer looks awesome. We'll link it on our Facebook page. They've got like a little twist on the same kind of character design. It still seems very zany and out there. You've got like just a bunch of new vehicles and powers. If anybody that played the original Crash Bandicoot games, you had like the Aku Aku mask that made you invincible. This time it seems like you have different masks that give you different powers. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. But for our loyal listeners out there, if you listen to our first episode and we talk about what we're playing, I was actually playing during that episode. I was playing the remake of the Crash Bandicoot games. So oh, yeah. they were doing the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy that they remastered for the PS4. Huge Bandicoot fan, and I can't be more excited for this game to come out.
I really like what they've said about it so far too, like with some of the powers they've kind of leaked, how you can like slow time down, so there's time manipulation, there's a gravity manipulation to kind of make the puzzles a little bit more difficult and just to switch things up a little bit.
Yeah, it's just going to be fun to have a platformer that's like an original kind of just at its core as a platforming game, but they're mixing up a little bit and gonna give us some new features, so that seems really fun.
This for me sets up perfectly to get Crash Bandicoot into Smash Bros. A new game is exactly what he needs, I think, to get him that stigma to get people back on Crash's side. I would love to see him in Super Smash Brothers.
Dude,
and that's all.
Crash in Smash Bros. Would be amazing. Actually a PlayStation game. I forget what it was called, but they did a basically Super Smash Bros.
Don't talk about that one.
It was called PlayStation All Stars Royale.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
We don't
hate it.
That game was hot garbage.
Did you?
We did hit that it? Game in the basement.
Yeah, I personally hated it.
Just deep in the basement.
The way that they made it so you could only like KO people by using special moves. I don't know. It was no, thank you. Not for me.
I've never played it. I'm just hating it because I'm an Xbox guy. So don't take my opinion with any validity.
It wasn't. Could it even compare to Smash Bros. But it was just fun because my entire childhood I was talking about, I want Smash Bros. For all these other characters. And so you got like Nathan Drake, Sly Cooper, Crash Bandicoot, Ratchet and Clank. Like you got
Spyro.
Well, actually, I don't know.
Spyro. I don't somehow didn't make it in. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
they had like some fat princess, which I've never seen her in anything before. But one that I did like
you had one job was to get Spyro in the game.
The Medieval Knight. I don't know if you guys ever played that game from the original PlayStation, but that game is a blast.
So yeah, you're right. Sackboy made it in over Spyro, which is bullshit. But Fat Princess is actually
Sackboy.
He's the little big planet you like make your own levels.
Oh yeah, I actually like him.
Yeah,
he's but Fat Princess was actually a game where you have like two different factions, you play against each other, and you're trying to take your princess, or you're trying to take the other team's princess back to your camp, like capture the flag. But on your team, you can feed her cake and make her really fat, so she slows everybody down. That's basically the game.
That could have been Spyro. That's all I'm saying.
It was a really fun game. I played it when I was like 14. It was awesome.
I've never heard of that, but it makes a lot more sense why you'd want that in your game.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that'd be really cool if Crash got in the new Super Smash Bros. I'd be stoked for that. Last little bit of news for me. Michael Keaton. This was like heavily rumored earlier in the week, and now I'm seeing that it's confirmed. He's confirmed to reprise his role as Batman in a new Flash movie. So it's going to follow like the Flashpoint saga, which has Flash basically ripping through time, and it expands on like the DCU multiverse. So I'm not really sure where Michael Keaton will fall in, if Ben Affleck is considered the original Batman and if he'll reprise his role. I know for a fact that they've confirmed that Robert Pattinson's Batman film is not part of the DCEU. So I would imagine that in this expanded universe,
thank God.
Yeah,
it might actually be good.
Yeah, we can only hope.
I have high hopes for Robert Pattinson.
Especially after the Lighthouse. The Lighthouse was great. It was amazing.
Don't go sparring with the ghost, boy.
Him carries the souls of dead men.
Bad luck to kill a gull. you know what Michael Keaton Batman gives me hope for? Fucking Batman Beyond.
That'd be so
sweet.
Cool. Hell yeah, it would be cool.
I want that. I want that so bad. Batman Beyond was like the cartoon that I watched that was the Batman cartoon outside of Justice League. But like if I was going to watch a Batman cartoon, that was the one that I'd watch.
I watched the original animated series with Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, but Batman Beyond was still amazing. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So enough about Batman. Chris, what news you got for us?
Wait, you're leaving out one quick little tidbit. In that Flash origin movie, we also have Cyborg is going to be guest starring in that.
Oh, I didn't actually see that. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit more about Cyborg's character.
Which, by the way, we talked about this before. I thought the kid that played, I think his name's Ezra Miller or something like that. I thought he got canceled. Apparently not. I guess he's still in the movie. He had like gotten in a fight with some chick at a bar, and like there's video of him throwing her to the ground. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but I mean, it's on video.
Is it the actor of that or the show?
The guy from the Justice League.
That's who played Flash.
I thought he got canceled, but
bruh. What? Well, he might have needed to be. But that being said, here at the Geek Peak, we separate art from artist, and we will review movies that have bad people in them, just as a heads up. So
that's so funny. I love that line.
I hope that doesn't upset anybody out there. We love you guys. We're cool with all people, but we are going to be reviewing movies that potentially have horrible people in them or producing them. Moving forward, we have news about The Last of Us 2. I mentioned a little bit earlier, but that game, PlayStation 2 exclusive right now. It is the highest selling game.
Wait, in the UK. What? Hold on. Time out. PlayStation 2 exclusive.
Oh, I'm sorry. PlayStation exclusive. The Last of Us 2. It is the highest selling game in the UK of all time. It beat Uncharted 4 by 1%, but
that's awesome.
Nonetheless, it is the highest selling game in the UK. I don't know about the United States yet, but
we'll that's see super impressive considering the reviews I've seen about it. That, but I mean, I haven't played it at all, so I've kind of been keeping away from most of it.
Well, Chris and I will give you a little sneak peek of our new episode coming out about The Last of Us 2. We both love it. So the Metacritic reviews, they were kind of surprising. We were a little disappointed when we first saw critics reviewed it amazingly, and then users just bombed the review. It's come to fruition that a lot of people reviewed that like an hour after the game dropped, so they couldn't have possibly played it. They were butthurt about some leaks they had heard about the game without playing through it. They were butthurt about some of the LGBTQ themes in the game, which, I mean, if you don't like that, just fuck you. Like, just whatever. And so the reviews were getting bombed. Too.
Like by deciding already within the first, like by random leaks of certain specific parts of information that you don't like the overall narrative of a story, fuck you. Also, if you're upset about LGBTQ stuff in video games, sorry, fuck you. Please continue.
Yeah, agree.
Actually, I guess I'm not sorry, but
yeah, sorry, not sorry. Well, I mean that's your little bit there. So yeah, Last of Us 2, highest selling game in the UK ever.
That's awesome.
Beating Uncharted 4, which was a great game in and of itself.
The game is awesome. I love it. Naughty Dog is a beast, by the way. As a gaming design studio, they are fire. Moving forward, we have Mixer. Mixer is a video streaming platform, and it is primarily used as a video game streaming platform, such as Twitch. Unfortunately, Mixer is going away. Microsoft has announced that they are shutting down Mixer, and they are going to partner with Facebook Gaming. That was on July 22nd that they're going to be shutting everything down. This was a huge surprise to the gaming community. Many streamers went ahead and transitioned to Facebook Gaming, and a couple of the biggest names in the industry actually are no longer with Mixer or Facebook Gaming. Ninja and Shroud in particular.
Yeah, they're free agents now.
The biggest. Yeah, last year they signed $1 million deals, $1 million plus. But that was a huge turning point for gaming in general. So now they have pulled off of the, I guess, Mixer alternative. But think about this. Facebook is your video game streaming platform. How do you guys feel about that?
Wait, so what's the deal? They just don't like Facebook? I don't understand why they pulled out. Like, were their contracts up, or are they just like...
They fulfilled their contracts since Mixer is shutting down. Facebook Gaming came to them with offers to stream on their new... or it's not a new platform, but on their newly acquired, I guess, platform with Mixer combined. And they turned it down. I assume they're probably going to be going back to Twitch, which is where they started. Because honestly, that's where most of the audience of people like watching games being streamed are at. So I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up going back to Twitch.
Okay. And it was every day about this video game streaming shit from you guys.
Dude, it was a lot of money.
Dude, Ninja made like $30 million or something like that off of the original deal with Mixer. And I think Shroud made $10 million.
I'm trying to find the actual dollar sign.
Man, but he made more than fucking Antonio Brown last year.
Yeah, Shroud made $30 million and Ninja made $30 million and Shroud made $10 million off of the Mixer contracts. And now they fulfilled them. It hasn't even been a year since Shroud's been with them, and he can just walk away with that $10 million.
They were paying him $50,000 an hour to play Apex to compete against Fortnite.
Yeah, it's insane. Jesus
Christ. He was paid $1 million for playing the game for hours on his Twitch stream. That's Ninja. Insane, man. Insane.
That just depresses me. We need to move on.
Okay, so moving forward.
I work 40 hours a week. Like, fuck.
We need to get into streaming is what we need to do, apparently. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so in other news, we've got a new VHS movie, which is a horror anthology film. If you haven't seen it, there's, I believe, both of them. Actually, I found out there's three of them. I thought there was only two. There is three. I've seen the third one. It's called Viral. But the
VHS movie, seen that one too.
I think they're all on Netflix.
I believe they're good.
I think I've only seen the first one.
To be honest,
the second one's definitely worth the watch. The third's a little campy. Like, I like the Succubus one. But yeah, every single story is different. I would recommend it if you like horror stories. It's pretty good. It's a lot of smaller indie horror film directors doing all the little bits. But the news is that VHS 94, which is going to be the fourth one, is coming out. I don't know if that's actually technically the name. That's the working title. But it's a VHS movie that goes back to 1994. So we might see some retro throwback stuff. You know, us being 90s babies, I think we might really like that. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. I don't believe that they have a release date on that film just yet, but they are working on it. So I'm looking forward to it. It's got some sleeper directors and producers from some other good movies that you've definitely seen horror films. I'm not going to get too in depth on that. Check it out. VHS 1994. Next up, we've got Dark Season 3 coming out. Dude, I'm just going to read you guys this caption of this review. Dark Season 3 might be the best series finale in sci-fi history.
Wait, is this the official trilogy? Is it over?
Yeah. All three of the seasons were written at the same time, so the story is completely cohesive and airtight. Most complex, and I say that not having watched the second or third season. This is just from what I understand. Most complex show on Netflix manages to tie its own loose ends. It is so good. Like I said, it's German subtitles. We've mentioned it a couple times on the show. Seriously, guys, I know I keep hounding you guys on this, but it is such a good show. I started the first 30 minutes of the second season last night. Holy crap. It gets insane. I can't urge you enough. Please check this show out.
Me and Samantha have actually discussed multiple times, like, oh, tonight when we get home after we eat dinner, we're going to watch an episode of Dark. And then we finish and we like clean the house up and take the dog for a walk and play, and we're exhausted. And I'm just like, I need to give this the attention it deserves. Yep, so you hyping it up like that, it's like almost, I'm like, no, I need to actually sit down and be able to pay attention to this.
The same Absolutely. Thing happens.
It is
me.
Definitely not.
I sit down to watch it,
it's,
and then
not
Travis,
a show you put
like,
on.
Hey, you want to play some Apex Legends? I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I guess I do actually want to play some Apex Legends. So we end up playing too late, and then I'm too tired to actually watch it, because I do want to give it the attention that it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. I've put it on a couple times late at night. Like, the reason I said I watched the first half hour is I put it on thinking I was like aware enough and awake enough to watch the whole thing, and I just like started dozing towards the end. And it wasn't because it wasn't interesting. I'm just really bad about TV and movies. If you know me, you know how it is. But yeah, absolutely check that first, second, and third season out. Do not jump to the third season. It is not a show like that. I'm telling you, it is killer. Please check it out. I will be reviewing Dark Season 3 in probably about a month, just to give everybody time to watch it. So just a heads up, watch it. Last but not least on news for me, I've got that there was a failed Lord of the Rings game from the Lego game makers, Traveler's Tales, spent $1 million on a failed Lord of the Rings game. It was supposed to tie into Peter Jackson's The Hobbit series, and the plan was to have photorealistic recreations of Lord of the Rings scenes on the Xbox 360.
Oh, so this is from a while
First
ago.
First of all, then. Yes.
Wait,
this news
photo,
is coming out.
Photo realistic in Lego?
No. It's not Lego at all, but it is the Lego game company. The company that makes, yeah.
Travelers. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely not a Lego game, but yeah, it looks pretty good for the Xbox time period. And I sent you guys that picture in the chat, but I will say the picture that they showed us is kind of funny. It's Samwise Gamgee, and he looks pretty absurd because it's Xbox 360 graphics that they're just now releasing.
Oh, but no, I can imagine.
I would have killed for that game, though, man. Like, they messed up not not doing something with it. $1 million.
LucasArts had one too. It was a Darth Maul game, and they have trailers out there where it looks fucking incredible. Like they had a full Darth Maul game that never got released.
Like, they had another game too that was like, it was supposed to be like the bottom. It was some random number, like level blah, blah, blah.
It was like level 1329 or something.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that at E3 1 year.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the underworld of Coruscant, the city planet where the Senate is. And it was just like, it never released. And it looked cool, but, you know, it is what it is. They, video game designers, man, they're out of touch. Talk about out of touch. But moving out of news, we are now moving into the rumor corner. So again, rumor corner is unsubstantiated by what we hear from all the networks and stuff that we follow, all the people we talk to. Not that we have some like secret Hollywood spy or anything, but just based on what we're reading and hearing out there. So first things first, there's rumors that Rian Johnson, his Star Wars trilogy is still in development. Disney apparently has said, take your time on it, write it out, make sure that it actually makes sense. Wink, wink.
Thank God.
Yeah. And apparently also he's writing Knives Out too. So they wanted to give him plenty of, you know, room to do that and not be
Knives right. Out does not need a sequel.
Yeah.
I heard it was good. I didn't see it myself yet, but
Knives Out was good. It wasn't, I didn't think it was as great as everybody else thought it was.
Good,
I
not
thought
great.
It was good, but it doesn't need a sequel. Like, unless it's just an anthology type thing where it's a completely different story. Like, I don't see any way that you could write a sequel with the characters in that film. I don't see it.
Yeah, I would imagine it's probably going to be another investigation from Daniel Craig. I would hope, which I would be down for. But if it's anything beyond that, nope, not in. So while that's happening, Taika Waititi is going to be, that's going to be coming out after Taika Waititi's untitled Star Wars standalone film, which I'm very excited about. Love him. What We Do in the Shadows, Thor Ragnarok are two of his big ones. He did Jojo Rabbit too, that we reviewed a couple weeks back. Great director. And then Trent, why don't you talk to us about, you were giving us some Star Wars news today that I was kind of laughing at. I'm like, wait, what is happening? So why don't you give us a rundown on that real quick?
Yeah. So again, rumor corner, but because of the very like split reaction between fans and critics of, The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, there's some rumors coming out right now that Lucasfilm and Disney are like kind of butting heads about the direction of the future Star Wars films. We've got a source out there, refers to himself as Doomcock. So, you know, take that as you will. Apparently they've come out with some credible Star Wars info before, but
Doomcock?
Yeah.
Doomcock.
Yeah, God, man.
They've provided some reliable information in the past, and per the rumor, Lucasfilm is considering introducing a plot device to make like huge changes to the franchise, and which would essentially retcon the new sequel trilogy. According to this rumor, they're planning on using like an episode of Star Wars Rebels called The Veil of the Force, which introduces alternate realities into the mix. It's like offering a glimpse of both past and futures that take place outside of like the established timeline. So essentially what's happening is there's one part of Disney Lucasfilm that's like, we have got to distance ourselves from the sequel trilogy. Like the true fans were not, it made money, but it was not received well. And apparently Kathleen Kennedy and Bob Iger are like fucking just steadfast on saying, no, this is not fucking happening. But what they want to do is basically film a whole new trilogy the way it should be done and say that the sequel trilogy that came out was an alternate reality, like an alternate timeline, which I am 100% for. Like if they do this the right way and then write it from beginning to end, the only thing that's missing is, you know, Carrie Fisher has now passed away, sadly. But if you write it from beginning to end, you can write her out of the first movie. You still got Mark Hamill. You still got Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. And you can do... We talked about this a few weeks ago. Like, we would have rather had The Force Awakens that came out in 2017 come out now. As long as it was good. You know what I mean? As long as the whole trilogy was written the right way, we would be down to wait for an amazing trilogy. So that's kind of interesting. We'll see if it comes to fruition. It's all rumors right now, but What do you guys think about that?
I mean, you want to talk about a way to retcon, why not introduce parallel realities? But that being said, I honestly am at the point where I'd much rather just see a separate story entirely, either Old Republic or, you know, 100 years in the future or something.
Well, I think we're going to get that too. Like, we might get both. And we're seeing that studios are willing to do this. Like, Warner Brothers is apparently writing a multiverse into the DCEU. So why not Star Wars?
I just feel like multiple dimensions and like alternate realities really takes a lot away from like what was originally there, which there are things I do like about the new trilogy. There's a lot I don't like too, but I'm worried that it's just going to get messy. That being said, I mean, I'm along for the ride and I'll still go see what they have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're writing it from the beginning again. I'd like to see the full project all the way thought out.
The one thing that honestly kind of worries me about it is I hope they don't get a little too gung-ho with the whole multiple realities thing, because of like, they're already doing that with, you know, Marvel with
it opens up a whole can of worms. Yeah.
And it's like, how many,
for me, this isn't really excitement of like, oh my God, Star Wars is going to have expanded realities. For me, this is specifically like, they're going to use this plot device to make a new sequel trilogy that they could potentially do really well, not how they botched the first one. That's what makes me excited about it. I'm not necessarily wanting this to be a plot device for all future Star Wars films, but that's my takeaway. I'd love to see them give another whack at the sequel trilogy and just follow some of the canon that Lucas, that like the expanded universe had already, before Disney bought it, but that had already been written. Like, a lot of that was really good.
Yeah.
Just take the pieces of that and film it.
I'm surprised they didn't take some of that originally anyways and kind of adapt that to film. So it'd be cool to see some of that.
Yeah. All Star Wars content's good in my eyes, even if it's not great. I'm just happy for the universe to expand. But yeah, I hope that they don't over milk it. Moving on, we've got the movie that we all watched with Kevin Bacon and Amanda Seyfried?
Maybe. Right? I don't know how to say her last name.
Siegfried?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have left. So we all watched this movie this weekend. Basically, Kevin Bacon, Amanda Seyfried playing parents, heading to Wales, rich. He's much older than her. They get to their vacation home. Lo and behold, get ready for a spoiler. Lo and behold, it is the Devil's Trap. It's the Devil's Tower. Bomb, bomb, bomb. So, Brandon, I know we talked about this a little bit. I actually thought it was pretty good. Like the overall movie. What were your complaints with that? I know you said that you didn't like it. I didn't think it was like an amazing movie by any means, but I did think that it was,
it's just,
it had some creepy tones. It wasn't really a jump scare movie though.
Nothing really stuck out to me as super scary is the first thing I kind of noticed about it. Like, what was with the character that just kept recurring in his dreams and that the townsfolk we're talking about who used to live there. Like, I don't understand like what his purpose in it was. Do you know who I'm talking about? The guy that like was wearing like the raincoat and was like, he like crept up into Kevin Bacon's daughter's room at that one time in her dream.
Yeah.
Do you know what I speak about? With the fucked up teeth.
Wait, no, that guy was like a representation of the devil. Like,
was that what he was supposed to be?
You mean, yeah. Like that wasn't a real person. That was,
I know it wasn't a real person. I know.
Oh, okay.
I thought that if that's a representation of the devil, then I don't know that he was not represented well. I thought he was not scary. It was, I don't know. It was your kind of your typical run of the mill haunted house movie in my eyes. Honestly, I thought some of the acting was okay. I think Kevin Bacon did a pretty decent job. And I think, is it Amanda Seyfried? Is that her name?
Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. I think she did a pretty good job too. The story overall was decent.
I'm gonna say it.
Yeah. I think the story overall was decent, but it wasn't scary. It didn't have any big moments that I would like be drawn back to. It's definitely not a flick that I would pay to see out. And honestly, I don't know if I would even go back and watch it again. What did you think about it though? I mean, you said you kind of liked it, so.
I mean, so I absolutely would not watch it again because like the whole story is built on like not knowing what's going to happen, seeing as there's no like outwardly straight up scary parts. It's more of like a tonal movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I thought it was like an interesting haunted house. It wasn't like anything groundbreaking, but like it's a new haunted house movie that if you're looking for something that's kind of creepy, it's an interesting movie. I wouldn't say it's bad. When I watched it, I wasn't sitting there like, damn, I really hate this or I'm super bored. I was interested. Yes, there were definite loose ends that were not great. Like, I'm not going to lie. There were parts that just didn't really make a ton of sense. But there
Do we want to give our ranking out of 10 after we all talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, for so sure. What's your... we'll all do it at the end. But
this movie I see is like, this is a great horror movie too. So full disclosure, I rented this for $22 on YouTube, like I've been doing through a lot of quarantine. Probably the one I regretted the most paying $22 to rent. But when I was talking to my fiance today and I was like, you know what? This is like your typical horror movie you and I would go see at the movie theater just to have a fun night out. Like, we know it's not going to be great, but yeah, it's going to be a fun little movie and we'd pay $10 to see it. And then we'd spend $20 each on drinks and concessions, you know? So, it's worth it in that sense. I don't know if I would recommend renting it on TV at the house because it's much more of a, this is an event. We're going out tonight. We're going to go see like a scary movie at the movie theater. Comes out on streaming. Definitely recommend giving it a watch. I will say that even though the movie was not outright scary, this movie gave me fucking nightmares. I was telling Chris and Brandon,
mention like, that. Yeah.
Oh my God. I was cracking up too. Cause like we said, there's no jump scares, but it just builds a really tense tone.
Yeah. So the whole movie is basically the synopsis is like Kevin Bacon is an older man. He has a younger wife who's an actress and they have a young daughter and he's having trouble sleeping in the beginning. He's having terrible nightmares about like his daughter getting attacked. So him and his wife decide to go on vacation to Wales. And throughout the movie, he's again, not sleeping well. The house is like playing tricks on him. He'll walk into rooms that are the same room he was just in before. He'll go downstairs to turn off the lights at 10 PM. And then by the time he gets back into bed, it's 4 AM. So time's like really fucking with them. And so
that's one of the big parts I actually liked was the time manipulation and also like the just general hallucination slash like, I guess they were almost like space-time portals, right? Like
if I did have to compliment the movie, I liked the way that the house kind of transformed around them as they were going through it. I did like that.
It was cool.
I thought that's part of the reason why I gave it a stronger rating than like, because I wouldn't just consider it a really shitty like run-of-the-mill horror film just because it had some creative like fresh breath of idea in it. Yes, it was a bit of a played-out haunted house film, but it has some cool elements in it overall that made it not bad for me.
I mean, and there's no doubt they have heavy hitting stars and it's filmed well too. So it's not just an outright bad movie.
Here's what put the movie over the edge. Again, this is going to be a spoiler review. So if you haven't seen the movie and you want to watch it, don't listen to this part. But basically they hint at the whole movie, Kevin Bacon having a dark past because he goes to like his wife's movie set and he says somebody recognizes him and he doesn't want to rent the Airbnb in his name. Essentially, he had a very high profile case murder trial. Where he was accused of murdering his former wife and he ended up getting off scot-free, marries Amanda Seyfried. She believes he's innocent. What this movie is this house is revealed to be Satan's tower, essentially. And it's been destroyed by God hundreds of times and it keeps getting rebuilt. And it draws in people that have sins that have not been like repented. And so it turns out at the end of the movie that Kevin Bacon was drawn to this house for whatever reason. And he tells his wife, Amanda Seyfried, at the end, he gives his daughter to her because he wants his daughter to escape the house. But he says, I can't go. I'm stuck here. I did it. I was the reason my ex-wife died. And he didn't actually murder her, but she was depressed and she ended up taking too many pills and drowned in the bathtub. And he watched and let it happen. He like pulled a Walter White. So yeah, the whole movie is basically at the end, it turns out that this is like just a portal to hell that attracts people that have sins that they have not atoned for. And that at the end, that little bit that made the movie all kind of make sense and gave it a little bit more depth is the reason why I would give it a 6 out of 10 instead of a 4 out of 10. I think it's worth watching again on streaming or if you want a night out, but it's not in movie theaters right now. So, but back to my dreams. I had fucking dreams that night. I kept waking up because I was in like a house with my brothers and my sister. And by the way, my sister's 16 years old, but in this dream, she was like five and I kept losing her, which Kevin Bacon kept losing his daughter in the house. And it was terrifying. Like I would open doors to rooms and it'd be the same room I walked into, or I'd try and run away from the house and I'd get down a hill and I'd be back to the house again. Like I was sweating all night. It was weird.
Yeah, that movie was a little creepy, and it definitely put the little girl in danger, which was always disturbing. But ratings, Trent, hit me with a number.
Six out of 10.
Brandon, what do you think?
4.5 out of 10.
I actually am going to rate it lower than Trent, which I'm surprised to do. I'm going to give it a 5.5.
Cool.
Okay, so moving on. I just want to do a super quick shout out. We had one of our fans and one of our good friends, Brandon Angel One. He hit us up to watch Star Wars Rebels and to read the Ahsoka tie-in novel prior to The Mandalorian. He said it will really clear up a lot about what's going on with Ahsoka once she comes on the show. So just a shout out.
He's recommending watching those and reading that book before she comes into The Mandalorian. So
absolutely. He said it'll give a lot of context to it and it'll make it way better. There was one bit of news that I missed earlier on, and I just wanted to say this. I thought it was interesting. Jurassic Park is number one at the box office right now.
Oh, yeah.
led by drive-in theaters, the Spielberg blockbuster regained the top spot 27 years after its release. Same with
Jaws. That is so cool. I wish that I had a drive-in theater near me because I would definitely go see Jurassic Park. That'd be amazing.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time. We were quoting that in our Last of Us episode. But God, I love that movie. Just wanted to give that a quick shout out. One other quick thing. George R. R. Martin floated another comment that he might have Winds of Winter finished by next year for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't believe it. He says that. We'll see.
That's why it's not in our main news point, and that's why I sound downtrodden when I speak of it.
Yeah. Deliver, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. We won't even spend any time on that. Next up, we've got music. We have this week, I wanted to do an older song. It might be one that some of you haven't heard. It's really nice. It's very easy to listening. Beautiful voice. It's called America, and it's by Young the Giant. And to be clear, that is America spelled with a K. Very good song. Highly recommend it. Very light. Young the Giant is an awesome band. All of their music rocks. I'm just putting a sleeper track on. Their popular stuff, My Body, Superposition, Cough Syrup, those are three like really mega hits, but I'm recommending America. I think it's a really good song. Check it out. That's my recommendation for the week. What you got, Brandon?
So my recommendation is, I'm doing a little bit of an older song too. I'm going like way back. We're talking like 70s right now because we're starting to get into the swing of summer. It's getting real hot out, and I figured, you know what? Throw some yacht rock on. Let's go through the playlist, see what's popping. And I came across Summer Breeze by Seals and the Crofts. And this is a song I know well, and I haven't heard it in a little while, though. And so when that thing came on, I knew I had to share the word for those that hadn't heard the song before. This is the perfect song if you're just going on a drive, just cruising. Just put that bad boy on and just chill. It's beautiful.
Damn, I've never heard that. I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, you'll love it. You can't not love it.
I love that. So we've got two more segments here. The next segment we're going to talk about is...
Wait, we didn't pick my song.
Oh. Trent.
Wait. Sorry. What's your song?
Please stop me next time. Sorry.
I've been picking dance music for my wedding, and I've been really listening to the Cha-Cha Slide a lot.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
A song you all know and love. Inspired with the
Them's the souls of dead sailors, boy.
I mean,
continue, Chris. Which we will be doing the Cupid Shuffle. We're not doing the Cha-Cha Slide, but
yeah. Anyway. You gotta do the update for sure.
So I did also want to mention for gaming, Fortnite is. We talked a little bit about how Fortnite's trying to expand to be like a multimedia platform and do everything. They are doing a Christopher Nolan movie night on June 26th, which is tomorrow night. we will drop this episode tonight, Thursday night. And so Friday evening, June 26th, you can watch Inception, Batman Begins, or The Prestige on Fortnite, which is cool. Not going to spend a lot of time on that, but just wanted to say that Fortnite's out there like trying to make themselves like their own platform, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we're going to do instead of the question of the week, like we did last week with the death race. This week, there's a graphic that we will be tweeting out and we have put out on our social media, but we'll also put it out again when we drop this episode and periodically through the week. But it's a picture of a bunch of different horror movies. And the prompts that I found on Twitter, and I'm sorry, I will credit the person who posted this on Twitter. I don't have your name pulled up right now. I just have the picture. So I will, I promise you, I will credit you in our comments. But this guy posted and he said, pick two. So there is like every good horror movie on this picture. We've all looked at it.
Let's read through them real quick. I know it's a lot, but for people listening to this that haven't seen the graphic yet, let's just, I'm going to read through them real quick. It's going to take 1 minute. Hereditary, Get Out, Nightmare on Elm Street, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Hostel, Psycho, The Fly, Us, The Hills Have Eyes, Evil Dead, Alien, Zombieland, The Collector, The Strangers, Hellraiser, Friday the 13th, The Shining, House of Wax, Shaun of the Dead, Halloween, The Conjuring, The Grudge, Sorority Row, Jaws, The Exorcist, Carrie, The Blair Witch Project, Tales from the Crypt, The Craft, Happy Death Day, 13 Ghosts, The Fog, The Cabin in the Woods, A Quiet Place, The Purge, Sinister, Insidious, Wrong Turn, Silence of the Lambs, The Scream, The Mist, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Urban Legend, House of a Thousand Corpses, Silent Hill, Final Destination, Paranormal Activity, Midsummer, Cloverfield, The Thing, Poltergeist, Last House on the Left, Candyman, The Witch, Rosemary's Baby, Prom Night, Child's Play, Saw, Resident Evil, Ghost Ship, The Howling, Drag Me to Hell, Martyrs, Ready or Not, Misery, The Babadook, Duke, 28 Days Later, It Follows, The Omen, It, Train to Busan, Your Next, The Ring. God, that was a mouthful, but I just want everybody to know.
Please don't ever say, God, that was a mouthful again in my presence. Anyways, so let's go ahead and jump right in. So
if you had to pick two, what would you pick?
So my two were like, if I couldn't, in my mind, it was like, I can't live without these movies. I think they're like some of the best movies ever.
Yeah, let's Alien, say they're going to erase the other ones and you can only have two that would last for the rest of your life.
Alien's got to be in there for sure. I love Ridley Scott. I love Sigourney Weaver. I think that's such a great sci-fi, like sci-fi horror. They invented the genre basically. I mean, I guess you had War of the Worlds and like Day of the Planet Stood or World Earth Stood Still or whatever it's called, things like that. But I mean, that's like, it's another level.
They really brought the horror element to sci-fi.
Though. Yeah. It's so scary. Like to this day, when you watch that movie from the 80s, it's scary. Maybe even the 70s. It might be the late 70s. But also the remake of Evil Dead, I think is one of, I think that's just like my modern favorite horror film. I love it so much. So that's definitely in there. Honorable mentions for me is Halloween, The Shining, and The Strangers. The Shining, classic, love Stephen King. Read a bunch of his books, huge fan. Halloween obviously is like one of the OG slasher films. Like that just like set the tone for a whole genre. And then The Strangers for me was scary as fuck. Like that.
I remember when you guys watched The Strangers for the first time and came home and we were having like a sleepover at your house. And those of you that actually watched it were terrified because no one else was home at the time.
Bro, it's so creepy. And I lived kind of far out in my mind, at least. It felt like it was far out.
No,
like,
you're kind of out in the boondocks, out in the woods a little bit.
Yeah, it was like a planned community that had been built. And then like the housing crisis came and like the economy crashed and they stopped building houses. So like all of our neighbors, like across the street to the right of us and on the corner to the left were all empty lots. So it did feel like you were a little isolated. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being so scared from The Strangers, but I digress. Brandon, which two can you not live without? And let me know what your honorable mentions are, because I feel like that's important.
If I had to pick two, which is very difficult because I love a lot of the movies on this list, it would have to be The Shining and The Thing. I mean, The Shining is iconic. It's one of the best performances I've ever seen of anyone, with Jack Nicholson playing, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name, Jack Torrance.
Johnny Boy.
Johnny.
Yeah, his name's Jack, but Johnny Boy.
Yeah, and then The Thing, is absolutely terrifying even to this day. Just the premise of it and the way that they used practical horror, like the chest bursting scene and the way that the heads like crawl across the floor. Oh, it's amazing. It's so good.
John Carpenter is a fucking beast.
Yeah, John Carpenter is fucking incredible. As far as like some honorable mentions, I have to give it up for The Cabin in the Woods. It's one of those movies that's like come out in the most recent decade or so that kind of tongue in cheek for the horror genre, but it delivers in a big way.
Yeah, that movie rocks. It's like, if you haven't seen that movie is like a huge, I don't want to say a parody because it has scary, not necessarily scary.
It takes a lot of the tropes of horror movies and kind of puts it on its head and in perspective of the audience. But there's actually a deeper, darker story going on in the background that you don't really know about. It's kind of the twist at the end. If you haven't seen it, I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, it's a great film. There's a lot of really good movies on this. We literally were like, we should probably just use this as our horror movie like marathon because it has almost every movie.
I've seen most of the movies on this list, so it's tough.
Yeah. All right, Trent, hit us with what you got. What's what are your two that you can't live without? And then what are your honorable mentions? And then I have one more small question for you guys at the end of this.
Okay, so I'm gonna take a little bit of a different take. When you say the two you can't live without, what I'm going for is rewatchability, because there are so many movies on here that I love. There's so many movies on here that are actually better than the two I'm about to pick. Like, let me reemphasize, these are not what I think are the best horror movies on this list, but the two you can't live without. And for me, that's movies that I watch these every year, sometimes twice a year. Number one, you guys just mentioned it, The Cabin in the Woods. Mm-hmm. I can watch that movie any time of the year. Me and my fiance love it. I love that movie. Like, you guys hit it, the nail on the head. It flips. It like starts off as your classic horror movie, and then it flips all of those old horror movie tropes on its head and just goes from there. Like, it's so
funny. It's genuinely a funny movie as well. It does horror and comedy perfectly.
Dude.
And there's parts that are scary. Like, it's a
the elevator movie. Scene.
Motorcycle
jump. Oh! Yeah, the motorcycle jump's hilarious. The elevator scene, though.
Badass.
So I'm going to go with that. And then the next one, Zombieland.
Okay.
Zombieland is just, and I kind of picked two funnier ones, I guess.
I'm surprised Zombieland over Shaun of the Dead for you.
You're killing me over here. I'm really upset with you.
I'm surprised you didn't choose Shaun of the Dead for a comedy zombie film.
It was very close, but the thing about it is I had actually not seen Shaun of the Dead until recently. So Zombieland, it holds a special place in my heart too, because I saw a screening of Zombieland in Tallahassee before it was released in theaters at the FSU Cinema. Specifically because the main character, like, you know, Woody Harrelson, his name is Tallahassee. and that's another movie that it is just an instant like horror comedy type classic. And I feel like if those two movies were not on there, I just genuinely would miss them more than the rest of them, because you have movies like Friday the 13th and Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street that are good, but their original movies are not the best ones. You know what I mean? Like, they're good series, but the original movies of all of those are not the best in the series. So I couldn't pick any of those. My honorable mentions.
The best Nightmare on Elm Street one is the Dream Warriors one.
Clearly. <It's> the only one.
Welcome to the prime time, bitch. My honorable mentions, Evil Dead and Alien. Actually, those, the Chris's two picks, those are up there for me as well. I love both those movies. The Shining, just because I think that's like one of the best classic horror movies ever. And then I'll just go ahead and say, I think that the outside of The Shining, you can't really beat The Shining, but this one is a modern horror movie, kind of thriller that competes with it. The best made movie on this list is A Quiet Place. That movie, just from writing, direction, acting, sound composition, is absolutely phenomenal. So I just had to give that a mention.
Yeah, Quiet Place is awesome. I'm a big fan of that. I would almost say that's less of a horror film, though, and it's more of a sci-fi action, personally.
That's kind of where
we talked about this in the text group. It's kind of like the Jordan Peele movies. Like, Get Out, is that really a horror movie? It's more of a thriller.
Yeah, I feel the same about Cloverfield, too. Like, is it a horror movie or is it a big monster movie? I think I consider it more of a big monster movie.
I just actually rewatched Cloverfield after we had that conversation.
Did you?
Great film.
There you go.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys this real quick, though, about this same picture. Of all these movies, there's movies on here that both of you haven't seen. Which ones have you not seen? Trent, you kind of told me earlier, you said you hadn't seen Urban Legend, and there was a couple others. Your Next was one of them that jumped out, and Train to Busan. I'm going to go
big,
ahead.
There's probably like 10 the on big here one, I haven't seen.
All right, listen here. The big one that you said you hadn't seen that I instantly was like, you have to watch it, is It Follows. It's more of an indie movie, but it's the premise is so good. It's incredible. And it actually really is good scary.
Horror. It's an indie horror film for sure, and you'll definitely like it. So that's on your homework list for 2 weeks from now. We're going to come back, and all these movies that we're recommending each other will have watched, or ideally will have watched, and we can give a quick rundown. So
I can guarantee you'll like It Follows. I can guarantee you'll like it.
One that you'll like from Brandon. And then for me, and you don't have to watch both of these, but one or the other, and then eventually maybe the other. But for me, I would say Train to Busan, which I've already recommended.
Well, I'm going to watch Train to Busan before the sequel on
Peninsula.
The Peninsula. I'm going to watch that before that. So I'm definitely giving that a watch. So 2 weeks, I'll probably watch It Follows because that is on Netflix. I've scrolled through it before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one too. And then Brandon, for you.
I'm not going to go over all of them that I haven't seen, but one that I haven't seen that I know a bunch of my other friends have seen that have kind of like recommended it to me is Drag Me to Hell by Sam Raimi, which I love Raimi's work. I don't know. I'm interested to see what he's done with that one.
I'm not going to lie. If you're looking for like a serious horror film, that's not a great one because it's more of a horror comedy.
I know it's more campy. I do know that it's more campy.
But if you go into it with that understanding, it is a fun watch.
That's got Justin Long in it. Also, little side note, I definitely got a little something in that movie when I was in high school. Just saying.
There you go.
That one has a special place in my heart while watching Justin Long.
Well, that's hilarious.
Nothing could be better.
Also, wait, this might not say great things about the movie, but I got a little something because the movie theater was absolutely empty. So
people just didn't understand the genius of Sam Raimi is all, I guess.
Exactly.
So Brandon, another one that I might recommend for you. Have you seen Hellraiser?
I have seen Hellraiser.
Oh, okay. All right. Well then I will, I'll hold my tongue. I feel like you've probably seen a lot of the same films. You didn't. Oh, you told me you hadn't seen Urban Legend though, right?
That is true. I haven't seen Urban Legend.
Okay. That's a fun slasher. That's not super serious. It's kind of dumb, but you'll get a kick out of it.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know where you'll watch it. I'll follow back up with where to watch it here in a moment. But for me, a couple of the big ones that I haven't seen on here that you guys might have, I've never seen Martyrs. Ready or Not is like a newer one.
Oh, Ready or Not, you have to watch. That movie is phenomenal. It's so good.
Okay, all right.
It's got the girl from a Netflix film called The Babysitter, which is also an amazing
comedy
horror film.
Yeah, surprisingly incredible.
It's good?
Dude, yeah, it's so good.
It's horrible.
No,
you watched it?
No, I saw the trailer and I was like, this looks terrible, but then now you're telling me
it's good. Did you watch the movie?
No, I haven't.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good.
Right, surprise you. Maybe it's good.
And then also, what was the other movie that you just recommended, though, before The Babysitter?
Ready or Not.
All right. So Ready or Not and The Babysitter. Okay. It's on my list. And then Brandon, I also haven't seen The Howling, Your Next. Yeah. And I've seen everything else on here, actually. I feel pretty good about that.
Okay. Your Next is actually, it's pretty underrated. It's a good movie. It takes the dynamic of like a family or like a couple meeting like one of the members of the family on the other side. And it turns into like this bloody party. It's worth watching, in my opinion. I enjoyed watching it myself, at least.
Very cool.
Not guys, super scary, sure to, but, you know,
When we post this on our Twitter and Instagram, make sure to leave us some comments or DMs about your two that you have to pick if everything else was erased. And then Chris, you actually, so guys, next weekend, not this upcoming weekend, which we're recording this on Thursday, the 25th, next weekend is the 4th of July. So Chris, we got an episode coming up and we're going to be doing something called, what do you like to call this?
I like to call this what I've always wanted to call this. This is my opportunity to finally bring out the Amerathon. We are doing three movies, all America based. That is going to be our pod next week. We are talking about America. Book, yeah.
Hell yeah.
We're watching,
free, baby.
Exactly. We're watching Independence Day. We're watching Saving Private Ryan. And we're watching Team America.
World yep. Police. America. Fuck yeah. So
those are our three.
Fuck yeah.
That we felt represented America. And we're going to watch all those. And we're going to be talking about them. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a review of older movies. We'll still have our news and stuff that we normally have. It'll be a good one for everybody to kick back, listen to some good old American conversations about some American classics.
Hell yeah, and just brother.
Get back into some movies from the 90s and early 2000s. Get back to our roots.
Better know I'm drinking some fucking Bush Light for that.
That oh, yeah, baby.
Hell.
We got that going down. So get excited for that. And again, check us out on Instagram and on Twitter at Geek Peak Pod. Check us out on Facebook, Geek Peak Podcast. We're constantly posting stuff on all of those accounts. We try to keep it different. So try to follow us on all of it. Also, last thing we want to ask, please share us with your friends. If you like listening to us, I think your friends might too. We really appreciate it. Thanks for all the support. We love you guys. We'll keep making stuff. Hit us up if you have any questions, comments, or recommendations for future episodes.
Like and subscribe too on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We've already got 10 to 15 reviews on Apple Podcasts from very generous friends of ours. So it always helps to get the word out. People go and I actually recommended it to a friend today and he's like, oh, wow, you've got a decent amount of reviews on here that are really good. So anytime you guys do that, it really helps us out. So if you like us,
yeah. Thank you so much. And, by the way.
Yeah, oh, we really appreciate everything that you spread about us, supporting us. That's awesome.
We'll let you in behind the curtain. We all get super hyped when you guys do that. It's really cool. It's very much, we're very interactive with you guys. We try to, if you message us, we're going to respond to you. So,
if we get a single view over the last week's podcast, we're instantly texting back and forth. We're like, oh, that's awesome. We did such a good job. Hell yeah. So keep showing us some more support. We love it. We love talking about it. And we'll talk about some of the things that you want us to talk about as well.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to close out this episode and be on the lookout beginning of next week for that Last of Us 6-hour gameplay recap and review. If you guys have anything else to say, we're going to climb off this mountaintop and we'll see you guys next week at the summit of the Geek Peak.